Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you to our fellow delegations in the Chamber who have so thoughtfully contributed their inputs to Section 4 today. From our vantage point, there appears to be convergence developing in this Chamber. We all want to adopt a high-quality declaration which has meaningful impact on the lives of civilians in conflict zones. We all appreciate that achieving a critical mass of states is critical to giving effect to the aims of this declaration in years to come. In that regard, there seems to be a general acknowledgement that implementation of the declaration in the years to come, including its ongoing promotion and uptake, will require further effort. Now, we are at the point where we are debating the shape of that process. We should recognise the progress that we have made thus far, even if we have not yet completed our journey entirely. A meaningful implementation mechanism is crucial to our endeavour, in Aotearoa New Zealand's view. With it, we will go from increasing awareness and political buy-in of governments to restrict or refrain from use of explosive weapons with wide area effects, to the hard business of using it to reinforce or, where needed, encourage the reshaping of practices relevant to the use of explosive weapons. At the end of the day, we all want this to yield results that translate into protection for victims of armed conflict from explosive weapons use. So, when asking ourselves whether we need an ongoing implementation mechanism of the sort suggested in paragraph 4.6, it is New Zealand's view that yes, we do. We have appreciated the opportunity this meeting has provided to hear of the experiences of colleagues in this room, including military perspectives and the steps they have taken to mitigate civilian harm. We welcome and encourage these developments, including the humanitarian objectives at their core. Military dialogue will, of course, play an important role in whatever implementation process is agreed, and we have considerable experience, including in the Convention on Cluster Munitions and the Anti-Personnel Mine Ban Convention, that we can learn from. But we would also argue that this process needs an ongoing diplomatic process to ensure the momentum we have been building lasts beyond the ceremony adopting this political declaration. Such a process would continue to shine a spotlight on an issue that is unlikely to disappear with the promulgation of our declaration, and it would provide a certain convening power. We would like to speak to the issue of politicisation, which has been raised by several delegations this morning. This is not a characterisation that we would necessarily share. We are engaged in an inherently political process of collective choice-making. That is what politics and, as an extension, diplomacy are. We are negotiating a political declaration. There may be a good argument for why, upon adoption, the following implementation processes become ultimately a technical exercise, but we haven't had that impressed upon us by the discussion this morning. In our view, it would be quite possible to pitch any future dialogue and process at an appropriate level, one recognising the nature of the document as a set of political commitments instead of a treaty-based mechanism. Indeed, we have experience of this in other forums. We do, however, sympathise with the concerns raised, for example, by the Netherlands, on avoiding duplication across work streams and operational questions raised around format, hosts, and costs. We see there are two options for how this is characterised in the text. Either we go into elaborate detail on this process, or we opt for a high-level commitment that we trust ourselves to put into action. I think New Zealand would prefer the latter, and on this basis, we would prefer the final sentence of paragraph 4.6 is deleted. This sentence, which begins with "as a starting point," strikes us as an unnecessarily specific sentence. In our view, we must pitch the language in the declaration at a high level, without being overly prescriptive. The open nature of this process would rightly mirror the open and transparent process that Ireland has led us through these last few years, and enhanced by the inclusive and high-quality participation of the ICRC, UN agencies, and civil society. It is our hope and expectation that this continues in any future configuration. Ultimately, it is up to all of us in this room to identify points of convergence, but it is our sense that we all have an interest in ensuring our efforts have an enduring effect beyond the adoption of our declaration. Thank you.